Nationwide, everybody knows my name. They're like, mama, that's Kenny Montgomery. He sings that song we like. Yeah, boy, that's me. Roll out the trailer, I'm flossing. Them Hoosier tires glossing. Them cold kind, we're tossing. They know I came to wreck it, yet I rarely bring out a caution. I hit the high side, boy, I park it for Brian Clausen. I do them like Kyle Larson.
Welcome to Throttled Up, the podcast. Throttled Up will be a weekly podcast featuring Matt and Dustin. We plan to discuss the legendary Brownstown Speedway, along with other local dirt tracks, Eldora, Salem Speedway, and all of your IndyCar and NASCAR news. Don't miss an episode of Throttled Up, the podcast.
Hey, Mo, are you going to win it? Yeah, I hope y'all brought some stamps, because y'all know I'm about to send it on there. Dirt, 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 I'm all about that. I'm throwing dirt, 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 dirt. I missed that. Dirt, 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 dirt. Gotta get back to it. I'm a dirt trackaholic. Call it what you call it. Saturday night, I am so Kenny Wallace on that.
Welcome back to Throttled Up, the podcast. Exciting day again today. Got a guest in studio. Excited to get a chance to talk to him. But first, you know, I want to shout out to our sponsors again, and the first one being In the Fast Lane Productions. And I've got my login now to the In the Fast Lane Productions website, and man, it is slick. You can search all their archive videos. You can look up specific races. He's already got all the heats and features from Bloomington Speedway on Friday night. You know, the Race Saver Sprints, the Modifieds, the Super Stocks over there. For the little bit of money they're asking to help support them, you can't beat the value in having a login to inthefastlaneproductions.com. I can't say enough about what those guys are doing over there with that website. Schaefer Photos and Custom Tee. Again, we're hoping to be at the track Friday night for the No Way Out 40 and Saturday at Brownstown Speedway. If you come out to the track, make sure you stop by and see Mark and Jamie Schaefer at Schaefer Photo and Custom Tee right there at their trailer behind the grandstand. We're hoping to have Mark and Jamie on here in the future, kind of talk about their passion and involvement in the racing world. And then last but not least, Kenny Montgomery for allowing us to use his new single, Dirt, as our intro and outro music. If you haven't had a chance to yet, that song, along with Dirt Track Thing, is available on iTunes. Go out and download and support Kenny. I really appreciate him allowing us to use that. So now, Matt, another wet weekend, but again, we just took a look at the 7-day forecast, and I don't want to get the cart in front of the horse here, but it looks like we got a really good chance that we're going to run two nights of racing at Brownstown this week.
Yeah, I checked the the forecast there, and it has a 0% chance for Friday night for the No Way Out, and I think a 20% chance for Saturday night. So all the odds we've had on that in the last few weeks, that's the best odds yet. So I think we're going to get to see some cars.
And if we average that, that's only 10% chance. So I'm going to go ahead and average both days together, and we're at a 10%. So I'm feeling good.
And I'm ready. And I do want to give a shout-out to Bloomington Speedway for, you know, getting their track ready where, you know, some people could go watch racing. I actually wanted to go, had every intention on coming into your office Friday morning and doing my best way to influence you, me and you take off to Bloomington. But then I looked at the rest of the forecast for the weekend and thought I better just stay home and get the yard mode. If not, it was going to be a hay field. So,
and if you're interested in what happens if you didn't get your yard mowed Friday night, you can look out my windows because I went to go watch the Jennings County High School musical performance of My Fair Lady, didn't mow my yard, and it will be a hay field. But, hey, we'll bail it when it comes to it.
But, hey, don't count on me doing the responsible thing the rest of the summer. I'll probably be begging you on Friday, let's go watch a race somewhere when Brownstown isn't running their double features there.
That's okay. And when you're not responsible, I will probably struggle to be responsible. So I'm good with a Friday night trip and watching a little racing. But, hey, again, guest in studio today, Matt, you want to go ahead and give him an introduction?
Yeah, he's last year's Schaefer Photo and Custom Tee Rookie of the Year in the UMP Modifieds, fourth in the points there. Loud and Loose Racing himself out of Dudleytown, Indiana. It's going to be Lucas Wiemiller, drives the 55W Modified. Lucas, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
And, Lucas, man, you've kind of been in different versions of racing, you know, and I want to start out with, you are the 2016 GNCC Side-by-Side National Champion, correct?
Correct.
What exactly is side-by-side racing? If I was going to go watch a side-by-side race, what would I be seeing?
A bunch of guys, what do they call that, pretty much chaos, you know, it's 20, 30 cars on a line, dead engine starts, take off, everybody's racing that first corner, that first section to get in the woods, and it's really fun. I mean, it was a fun, I still enjoy it, but I just kind of taken a different road and a different route with the racing.
And where all are those races held at, those side-by-side races?
GNCC's national, so they have them all over the United States, most, you know, on the East Coast, so like Florida, the Carolinas, Ohio, Illinois, Indiana, you know, in there.
So in order to become a national champion, you've really got to be willing to travel.
Yeah, you have to travel. I mean, if you miss a race, you're pretty well done in the points because there's only six races, not like the race, the dirt track. There's as many as you want to go to in the summer. There's only six, so you have to go and do pretty well in them to be in the top.
And we're talking, obviously, we just talked about, you know, coming into the woods, really tight quarters on these tracks and obviously varying degrees of difficulty.
Yeah, a lot of times the national, they're a little wider because the cars are getting bigger.
Mm-hmm.
When they first started in 2009, the Polaris 800 was the only one really out there, and then Can-Am had one. But now the cars are getting bigger, so they're opening the tracks up a little bit, and they're getting faster. But yes, it's technical, it's tight, you're going between trees just where the car will fit through, and it's pretty neat. I mean...
So the first time you rolled out at Brownstown in a modified, you probably thought the track was 4 miles wide. You know, you're used to racing between trees, and, you know, that's a pretty wide surface at Brownstown compared to that.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you guys, I was like, it can't be that hard. I was like, the track's big, you know, all you're doing is going in a circle.
There's no obstacles other than the other cars.
Other than the other cars. And in that first race at Brownstown, I think I drew like a one. So I'm in the first heat, and everybody was like, oh, you can tell them that you're new and you want to go to the back. And I told the guys, like, hey, I'm not here to start in the back. So I took that chance and went right up on front. Well, needless to say, I spun out. And then I had 11 other cars behind me or whatever it was, 9 other cars that was all coming at me. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is worse than I thought it was going to be. So I had a rude awakening, but it was a learning curve and fun.
You don't have the trees, but the trees also don't come after you in the side-by-side.
Exactly.
The way those other cars do. You know, when we're talking about the side-by-side racing, are those all stock side-by-sides, or do you do a lot of, you know, adjustments and things?
You do a lot of adjustments as far as your shocks. That's a huge thing. And clutching and things like that to get you, you know, more low-end torque and stuff like that. But as far as – and you build engines too. I mean, you wrap a lot of money up in engines. Boy, you can take a stock out and have just as much fun. And they have classes for those guys as well.
So what class did you win the national championship in?
It was actually called the XC3, which was the pro amateur. And basically you could modify your buggy any way you wanted. You can motor, suspension. So, it was pretty cool.
So, pretty competitive class, obviously, as well.
It was really competitive.
Awesome.
So, what made you decide to jump from running the GNCC series to running, the Brown Sound Speedway and local dirt tracks?
Well, like I said, you had to travel, so we would leave. People know I've got my own business at the sawmill, so it's hard for me to leave and take off. And we'd have to leave on a Friday, and hustle down, and then you only race for an hour. So you drive all the way to Florida, and say your machine's tip-top shape. You get out there and you hit some kind of big rut or rock or stump or whatever, and you tear it up, you're done. You load up and you drive 18 hours back home. And so that kind of thing kind of took the fun out of it, but that's why the dirt track, I'm like, hey, it's right in my backyard. Let's get a car so we can go 10 minutes from home, be racing.
And you're racing for longer than just an hour, too. You're not unloading, an hour later you're loading it back up.
Hopefully not.
Right. There's been some nights it's went longer than others, so I guess time-wise, you probably have more fun for, a longer time.
Exactly. It's a family sport. I want my dad and my grandma actually came to one of those cross country races and watched it. But the tracks are 10 miles long. Well, to get 10 miles on, 300 acres, it's all over the place. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for spectators to watch it because you're here for a split second and then you're off in the woods and then you might come around another 20 minutes later. So it's not really fun for the fans that can't do all the walking like, my grandma and stuff. So the dirt track, it's a lot family oriented. People can sit there and it's fun. That's what I wanted. I want people, my wife and family to come and watch and enjoy.
What do you think the biggest difference between, and you talked a little bit earlier about, the dirt track and then just controls and power. What is the difference between the side by side and jumping in that modified?
I want to make this clear. I do have a huge respect now I always did, but a lot more for the dirt track.
Absolutely.
Because, it is something that's not easy, and it took us a while to feel where we're getting more comfortable. But as far as the comparison, you've got 2,400 pounds with 750 to 800 horse. We're on a side-by-side, you're 1,500, and 150 horse, so it's a lot of jump, but I don't know, it's, to me it's pretty well the same. The technicality is pretty well similar.
What a lot of the common dirt track fan that sits in the stands don't realize, though, your motors and your modifieds have as much horsepower as the super late model does, but you're on half the size of a tire. A lot of people don't realize that you guys are cranking just as much horsepower as those super late models, but your tire, is half the width. So there's got to be some, some strategic racing there as to how to get all that horsepower to the ground, and keep from spinning out.
Exactly. And with us, whenever I first jumped in, I thought, oh, just turn left and give it gas. And that's not the case, as you guys know. So that took me a lot of time to try to figure out how not to spin out and to get that power to the track. Cause you'd come out of a corner at Brownstown, especially, slicks off and you give it throttle and you're spinning, you're not going anywhere. You're getting passed by guys that, like you're sitting still cause you're sitting there spinning. So to get that all worked out, it takes a lot of patience,
You teamed up, quite early with, Donnie Fleetwood and Devin Gilpin and they had to help you out a lot because, Devin in a modified at Brownstown is, about the best you can get. Actually, the best you can get there at Brownstown Speedway. So you teaming up with them and getting some knowledge from them has to help you out a lot.
And it does. And that's how I got started in the whole racing is I was like, let's race at Brownstown. Okay, the next question is, what kind of car are you going to get? I had no clue what a good chassis was, what a motor builder was, or any of that. So I just started looking around and asking people, and a guy's like, hey, Donnie Fleetwood at Dasco has a mod for sale. And I was like, who's Donnie Fleetwood? Where's Dasco? And they're like, 39. I drove past it for 27 years of my life. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I just stopped in and and talking to him. You know, I was like, hey, I heard you had him on. He's like, yeah, and he was showing, really cool guy, you know, laid back. And he kind of thought we were funny. You know, I took my dad and stuff over with this, and he's like, see, what, you guys want to buy this car? And I was like, well, yeah, I want to do it. He's like, have you ever raced? I'm like, no. So he was like, well, okay then. You know, so it was, he asked why I wanted to get in a mod. I was like, I like the looks of them. I like the way, you know, they act and stuff. And so that's why I did it. And like I said, everybody told me he was the best. So oh, I tried to put myself around people that are good if you want to do good.
Mm-hmm. And you made a right choice there because, I mean, Donnie, you know, Donnie and Devin pretty much wrote the book on the modified at Brownstown, so you did great there. Luckily, I got to watch all your races at Brownstown last year, and I'm going to give you some props here, man. You are a great character for dirt racing, just for the fact is I get to the racetrack early, but, man, you beat me there most of the time. And, you know, that is awesome. You know, when I turn there at the intersection because I come from North Vernon to the racetrack and I'm coming down toward Brownstown Speedway, you know, your hauler's right there in the same spot every week, got the American flag flying high, you know, and that is very cool that, you know, you want to bring that cool atmosphere to the dirt races. And, you know, the last few years, sometimes that's been forgotten a little bit, and you trying to bring it back, I think, is awesome. So kudos to you for trying to bring all that back into racing.
Like we talked about, the side-by-side is a Saturday and Sunday event. Not just for the side-by-sides, you race one day, but the dirt bikes and stuff are on Sunday. So I always like to get early. You know, you camp then. So you camp all weekend, make an enjoyable weekend out of it. And that's kind of what I miss from the side-by-side stuff. So I kind of do that with the dirt track, you know, especially at Brownstown. We don't really do it anywhere else, but Brownstown's home. We like to get early, you know, fire up the grill and have a little fun and just make it enjoyable, because like you said, that's what it's all about.
You know, like I said, when I turn off that intersection there and I start coming down the hill, I look over and when I see that flag flying, I was like, well, Lucas is here tonight. You know, yeah. And you're usually there when the track is, I mean, the pits are empty. I mean, you have to be one of the first guys rolling in there every week.
Yeah, we're the first ones.
There's nothing wrong with that, man. That's, you know, that's very cool. And you know, we had some fun there at the racetrack, you know, when you started naming your chassis. And, you know, I kind of played that off from the announcer's booth. And, you know, when you'd roll out, you know, yeah. I think your last car you had last year was Molly. And you know, we kind of pushed that. You was in Molly every week. And, yeah. You know, that was pretty cool.
So what do you think, what was the biggest lesson that you learned last year as a rookie in the modified?
It's kind of tough because I learned a lot, you know. I mean, I would say patience, you just being easy. You know, I have a heavy foot and I want to win. Like, I'm competitive. Mm-hmm. So whenever you hear those cars coming up next to you, the first thing you think about is hitting the skinny pedal and trying to outbeat them. Well, then you do, but then you spin out in the corner. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you can't win the race on the first lap. And that was a lot of my trouble. I started on the pole my very first heat race. And I was like, oh, yeah, I got this. You know, they got to pass me to win. Well, it was real easy to pass whenever I'm spun out facing backwards. And I'm like, you know, they're all dodging me. So being patient and just staying smooth is a huge thing.
And I think that's one thing that a fan in the seats, and I know that Matt brought this up a little earlier, but doesn't understand sometimes is it's not always about just mashing the gas and going. It's an art. I mean, it's how you feather things, how you set up your corners, and learning kind of that art of driving is a big part of that as well.
And the cars, there's so many adjustments on the car for that kind of driver. And, you know, Devin, learning from him, Donnie's like, well, how do you want to drive it? I'm like,
fast.
Yeah, I was like, I want to win, Donnie. You know, but anyways, he set me up kind of like Devin drives. I get in the car and couldn't do it. You know, just wasn't my style. And he's like, well, let's do this. So we come back, and this is all practice, and we come in, we change a few things, go back out, get better. And he's like, okay, you like this driving style. And I'm like, I don't have a driving style that I know of, so whatever you think. And so we played around with it a lot, and I think we're starting to get it to now. You know, I'd come in, he'd say, what do you want done? Or that's a nice thing with Donnie. He could look at me and say, hey, you're tight in the corner. Hey, you're loose. Or let's change this. Before, I had no clue, you know. So now we're at that point where I can come in and say, hey, I'm a little tight. Let's loosen it up. Or, you know, then they start talking wheel stagger. And that's all learning stuff. And we're still, and we're still learning. I mean, but we're getting closer.
Do you think that, I mean, it's all these drivers we've had on, it's typically grown up with a, you know, a huge family connection to racing. You know, their dad raced, their grandfather raced, you know, uncles, whatever. You really didn't have that in that sense. Do you think, though, that, that maybe that was a little bit of a an advantage to you because you kind of came in without any bad habits, without any preconceived notion, just the idea that, hey, I want to learn. So you think that was an advantage to you in a way?
And I do, and that's what I told Donnie in the beginning when he was asking me this stuff. I said, Donnie, I don't know. So you just need to tell me what I need to do. Like, you know, you turned Devin into an awesome driver, which Devin is an awesome wheel man, you know, but Donnie knows how to set up a car. I said, so just help me get there. And I'm just now starting out, you know, 30 years old. It's like, I feel like I wish I could have started at a younger age and been a lot better at this age now, but we'll just take it, you know, year by year and get better, and hopefully by 40 it will be pretty good.
But like Dustin said, I mean, you didn't come in with the bad habits of, let's say, you know, a dad or grandpa might have had. You thought, well, that's just how you do it. You know, you really came in with a blank slate, and I agree with you. I think it was probably better that way, that, you know, Donnie just kind of found out where you fit. He helped you set the car up that way, and you got to go. And I'll tell you, from race one last year to the last race of the year, you improved in one race season. So I don't think it's going to take 10 years for you. And I'm going to give you another shout-out, you know, because you just didn't race at Brownstown last year to try to figure the car out. You know, I went over to Eldora Speedway for, I think it was the Johnny Appleseed or the Baltus Classic one. And
Johnny Appleseed.
Yeah, you roll out. You know, you drive to Eldora. You know, you got six or seven races in on you, and you're running laps at Eldora Speedway. So, I mean, how many other rookies really do that? You know, that's awesome.
And that's kind of the side-by-side coming out in me. You know, we traveled. So I like to travel, and it's 3 hours away. So I'm like, we're not racing anywhere local here. And I'm like, let's go turn laps. Cause last year was all about laps. We didn't really care where it was. I told Donnie I wanted to go to Terre Haute, and he's like, I don't know about it. And I was like, oh, it can't be that bad, you know, but we went there and we went all over and just raced anywhere we could to try different tracks and different things and see different, you know, obstacles, and I think that did help me.
It had to have. And, you know, Eldora is a high bank joint and fast, and
had a lot of fun there. I like that place.
Oh yeah, that, you know, and you actually looked very good there. You know, when you went out there and raced, I was very impressed with watching you there. And to me, as the race fan coming out of me, you know, I like sitting in the stands and seeing a guy just watch at Brownstown on Saturday night, and then you're turning laps at Eldora. So that was cool for me as a race fan too, to get to root for you over there.
And I'll give you some credit. I think it's really, really cool, the kind of the attitude you've taken into this, in the sense that I think for a lot of guys getting in, there would be some nerves, some reservations about, I don't know that I'm on that level to go to Eldora. I don't know that I'm on that level yet to go to Terre Haute. I don't know that I should go race. I think sometimes guys that jump into the sport look for the tracks that some of those big name guys aren't there. And you're running at Brownstown Speedway as your home track, which is one of the better modified tracks you can find. But I really appreciate that attitude of, here's the deal. I know who I am. I just want to race. I want seat time. I want to turn laps and get better. It's okay. You know, you don't have that kind of, I don't want to be, and I don't want you to take offense to this. You're not worried about being embarrassed. If you go there and you spin out, if you go there and you touch the wall, you just bring her back and you keep trying. And I think that's a great attitude for a guy that's getting into racing, to just get out there and show the fans that you're trying to figure it out and do the best you can.
You know, and I'm competitive, so whenever I do spin out, I try not to act bad in front of people and let them see that side of me. But it's nature. I go back and pretty tore up about it, because that's, I mean, it is embarrassing, but like I look at it, like you say, you got to start somewhere. And all these other guys that started, they all had their very first race. And last year was my first year. So, yeah, I mean, we ran and different tracks and learning. And you can't be scared to go out or intimidated, because, like I said, everybody has their first race. And it might just be with a lot better competition. And I feel like when you race against really good guys that don't spin out and don't wreck, it only makes you better as a driver. And I've noticed that, not that I'm, you know, a great driver by any means, but racing at smaller tracks with rougher cars, not as much talent, you don't get better. You get seat time and you get laps and you figure stuff out, but you go and race at Terre Haute, Eldora, well, I mean, anywhere, really. I mean, Brownstown, we went to Ponderosa and different things like that with these better guys, and you learn a lot.
You see those guys setting those corners up the right way. You know, following some of the best, you know, obviously you want to be competitive, you want to lead, but getting the opportunity to follow guys like Devin Gilpin, you know, and see how they set up corners, see how they, you know, how they run their machines is invaluable learning experience.
Oh, exactly. When we went down to Ponderosa, perfect example, never been there. I mean, Donnie and Devin didn't go. We just decided, let's go down there. So we went and ran, and right, we made the feature, and right there towards the end, the lead guy was lapping, starting to lap people. You know, he was on it. And once he got in front of me, I just did what he did. I followed him, and I kept right up with him, you know, and really done pretty well, really. I mean, for us. So following the good guys or whatever, so to speak, I mean, you do learn a lot.
And was you running a different line than he was before you got up behind him? Did he show you something on the track that you wasn't aware of?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I thought I was doing decent, but then when they come flying past you, it's like, they got it figured out. So then, yeah, I went up a little higher and a little deeper in the corner, a little harder and different things like that. And then you realize that you can do it. You got to have a lot of faith in your car, and your car's got to be, you know, that's what makes you go fast. And trust in it. That was my biggest fear is, you know, when you go in that corner at 80 or whatever, and you got to turn, you got to know it's going to turn. And getting set up like it is, and Donnie helping me and stuff like that, I can trust it.
So you told me the lessons that you've learned, or a few of the lessons you learned last season. What was the most exciting moment last season?
Any time that we could unload the car, make a feature, and load the car back up with minimal damage was always exciting. But I don't know, really, that sticks out just perfect in my head. I mean, we had, I'm trying to think. I don't even remember what my best finish was, you know, because I wasn't really paying attention to that. I was just trying to learn.
Absolutely.
But we had some good races, you know, where I think top 10 was my best, I think. And that was exciting.
Very cool.
And you told us here before the race that this year you have plans of kind of running for some UMP points, and you're racing more than just Saturday at Brownstown. You're going to try to do the Friday night at possibly Bloomington, and then Saturday at Brownstown and wherever else a modified's going to race.
Yeah, and Devin always said, he said, man, we need to race three nights a week, at least two. And I'm like, well, you know, with my job, you know, I have a job that I can't just take off and go. And Friday night at Bloomington gives me that chance to get two nights in. So I want to run every race at Bloomington. That's my plan this year. See how good we can get in the points over there. And like you said, try to get some UMP points.
And, you know, that's very cool because, you know, you start compiling them races, you know, multiple races up in a week, you can jump in UMP points quite rapidly. And you know, at the Brownstown banquet, you know, when I introduce them, I always introduce the UMP points up with them. And it's amazing how many people we have race every Saturday night at Brownstown Speedway. They're in the top 10 in national points with the UMP. So that's you know, that's very, that shows the competition that you do race with every Saturday over there.
Yeah.
So what are your goals for this season?
We probably set our goals a little high, but I mean, that's just what gives you something to strive for. But this year, what I'd really like to see is I'd like to see me make every feature and top 10 in every one. You know, last night or Friday night at Bloomington, we missed it by two spots. I finished 12th in the feature out of 26, and it was good. I mean, we raced good, and there's a lot of good guys there. But yeah, top 10, you know, a few top fives, and hopefully a feature win. I'd love to get me one of those this year.
All right, I'm gonna go just a little on the personal side here. I know you know, you and Ryan Bowling are good buddies, and me and Ryan are good buddies. He made sure that let me know that your nickname was Crowbar. Where did that nickname come from, man?
I don't really know. It was it was just one of those things that we used to do a lot of house remodeling and different things, and it's kind of like, hey, we need this tore down, and I was the guy to do that job, you know? So a guy just started calling me Crowbar because he'd give me a sledgehammer and a crowbar, and I'd have it tore down, ready to rebuild, and it just stuck, and everybody, my buddies, started calling me that. And
because, you know, Ryan came to me there at the beginning of the year and told me about, you know, he was getting into this, and, you know, Ryan is a huge supporter of yours, and he's like, you need to call him Crowbar, and I'm like, that ain't going to be something... That he's going to be upset about or nothing. He's like, oh, no. He said, it's all good. And I'm like, all right, you know. And I asked him, I said, Ryan, why does he go by that? And he's like, I have no clue, but just call him that. And I'm like, we can do that, you know. So I didn't know if there was a bigger story behind that or not, you know.
There's not really a big story at all. I mean, it's just kind of fun, like we talked about earlier, you know, getting to the track early and grilling and throwing that flag up and showing people that racing's not just a, you know, one-day deal. Or I mean, it is, but let's have fun with it, you know, and call me Crowbar or whatever people's nicknames. It makes it more fun, and the crowd, you know, likes it. And
oh, it's, you know, and it helps me out because, you know, it's my job to show your personality to all the people in the stands, and you actually help me with that a lot. You know, you bring a lot to the table with that. And why the 55? Why, I mean, I know I'm obviously the W is for Wee Miller, but why the 55?
It was just a football number in high school, and I just kind of like it, you know, the double nickel.
It was always
my number, and carried it over in the side-by-side world. It was 1955, you know, and I like it.
That was the same number I wore in football, too, so that's pretty cool. So
I was 60, so I missed out on the 55 reminiscing. But Lucas – I want to take a short time here because we've wanted to do this for every driver, and I want to give you a chance to really talk about those sponsors that help you get to the track, you know, every week. So I want you to give them a shout out and get a chance for you to talk about them.
I'd like to thank my parents. They've always been behind me in every aspect of racing or anything I do in life. They're always there to support me. And my wife, Kara, she's, like I said, she takes care of us, gets the food and tear offs on the helmet and clean fire suits. But as far as helping with the car financially and getting their name out there, Battle Wagon Trailers, Hall Bell Bonds, Cooper Concrete, Enviro Heat, L&L Lumber, Hacker Sawmill and Trucking, Bishop Repair, Paul Ney Associates, Booker Co., The Rugged Company, Stahl Insurance out of Seymour, CPC Printing out of Brownstown, Dasco Race Supply, Gerker Building Supply, Wilson Equipment, Showbound Trucking, Mighty Oaks Tree Trimming, True Blood Logging, Reichel Media, Parker Dental there in Brownstown, Bob Pointer, Bain Logging, he's a big help, and Booker Co., like I said, he's a big supporter, Spec Racing Engine. So, I mean, I've got 24 guys that believed in me enough to give me money to put on a card, and it's advertisement, I know that, but they were like, yeah, I didn't have to twist their arm or anything. They're like, yeah, we want to see you do good and have good equipment. So I have a lot of guys to thank, and I really do appreciate all their help.
And I'm glad you kind of threw that out there, because that's the lifeblood of you guys being able to do this week in, week out. And you know, as Matt and I kind of started this, we wanted to make sure that drivers got a chance to thank those sponsors and, you know, and at least get them pushed out through our source of media. And, you know, we thank them, because without them, you wouldn't be there on Friday and Saturday nights, and that would mean you wouldn't be here with us. So we appreciate what they do for you as well. So, but I do want to bring up, you talked about Mom and Dad, and you said they've supported you in everything you've done. Did Mom have any reservations about this new venture?
She's always... She's a typical mom, always worried about
anything.
Absolutely. You know, you're playing T-ball, she's worried, and racing, definitely. But as far as the racing, taking it back to, like I said, the dirt bike days and the side-by-side, she always was there because she knew that's what I like to do, and supported me and always says, you know, be careful like any mom would do. But she's always been there.
So your family not being from the dirt racing background, what was their thoughts the first time they, you know, they showed up and watched a race? Like, you know, what has he gotten himself into? Or
oh, I'm sure that was going through their mind, you know, like, yeah, what are we doing now? But after we went and started, you know, doing better and having fun with it, they like to come to the track. You know, we go, like I said, we grill out and make it a family day. You know, they can come and watch, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, just to have people there that support you and enjoy it.
Now, we've talked with a lot of drivers about this as well, and I think you'll have a very unique and interesting perspective because you aren't a guy that grew up at the racetrack all the time. One thing that we hope to do as well is kind of promote this sport and get more people in the stands. What do you think dirt track promoters and guys need to do to increase the people coming out on a Friday or Saturday night?
Well, trying to get the fans, you know, as a fan, you always kind of want to be a part of it as much as you can be. And a lot of times they can't, you know, it's like, oh, you got to stay here or whatever. And you can buy pit passes, but I think it is nice. Lucas Oil and them guys, you know, have the drivers come up and sign stuff before the race. And even if you're a low guy at a weekly show, I still think the fans like that. If they'd bring the drivers up, you know, and do a little more interacting with the fans and stuff like that. I don't know.
Well, and I think you're exactly right. And I don't think it matters where you run. I think it's the personal connection. And if a guy is willing to come up and spend time with a young kid, and we've talked about it before, but that's what makes that kid want to come back, you know?
Exactly. Whenever we had the fan appreciation night there at Brownstown and parked in the infield, I know it takes time out of the race to do all that stuff, but when you bring them to bring those kids and the people to the infield like that and let them see your car and you're standing there in your fire suit and those little kids, I love that kind of stuff. And they come up to you and you're kind of their hero. I mean, you're just a normal guy like they're going to be someday, but they look at you like, oh man, this is awesome. And that's what I like, enjoy about it. You know, that's why I do it, because I like to race, but I also like for those young kids to be like, man, this is awesome. Someday I want to be a race car driver, and hopefully they can.
Kids not. I think you bought more bicycles than any one driver out there, man, and that was very cool because you made sure you got your picture taken with each kid that picked your bike out of all of them, and I seen that out of you that night. That was very cool. You know, I think you bought three or four of them you brought down there.
I think so. I wasn't keeping track.
You know, you hung out right there with them. You know, we was calling out the numbers, and every time a kid, you know, because we just let them pick what bike they wanted, when they picked your bike, you know, you'd come in there and Mark would take a picture with you with the kid. And I mean, that was very, very cool, you know, and that helps. Because like you said, especially that night, you know, that kid's going to realize, you know, Lucas in that 55 car, you know, gave me my bicycle. So you're going to be the guy he's going to root for, you know, when he comes back to Brownstown.
Exactly. And we need all the people to root for us, you know what I mean? Because we need all the help we can get.
So, you know, did you grow up a race fan, though, even of any? I mean, I know you race some dirt bikes, race the side-by-sides. Did you grow up watching IndyCar or NASCAR or anything like that?
We watched my mom and stepdad. He was a huge NASCAR fan. So back in NASCAR, when it's good days, mm-hmm. we watched NASCAR every Sunday, you know, and I always was like, man, that's so awesome, you know. But you dream of that, and then you realize that it's probably not going to happen, you know, driving a NASCAR. So then you look at dirt track, and I never was involved in it because, you know, I never had that opportunity to get a car. I probably could have, but I just never, pursued it until last year. You know, I had the opportunity to buy one and bought one, and I'm glad I did because it's fun thing to do. But as far as the racing, no, it's kind of one of those things where just like, Brownstown's our backyard, 10 minutes, we can be there. And that was really the only track I was going to run, was Brownstown, not even worry about the other ones. But then once you do, then you want to go to other ones, you know, mm-hmm. you want to see what it's all about.
That drug gets in your blood, and all of a sudden you got to have a fix. And for lack of a better word, I mean, that's what it is, and that's why we want to encourage people to go out and see what the dirt track is like, because it is something, and it's why a bunch of guys right now are sitting around antsy as all get out for the rain to stop here and get Brownstown Speedway started.
And Jacoby Hines is a really good buddy in school, and I knew he always raced, and whenever I called him up to, you know, ask him questions about cars and what to do and what he thought, and he's like, don't do it. You know, don't do it. And he's, I was like, why is that? And he said, because, you know, once you do get it in you, it's hard to get it out. I mean, it's like you said, that's why we went Friday night at Bloomington, because we went down to Florida. We were fortunate enough to go down there and run and had a good week. But then we came back, and it's been a couple months, and we're like, man, we got to go. You know, Brownstown's been rained out, so Bloomington was good weather, and we went over there and ran and, you know, got that fixed for a little bit. But.
And it's funny you said that Jacoby said that, because I asked Devin last week, hey, man, if you gave advice to a young race driver, a kid that wants to be a race driver, getting him, what would you say? And he said, play golf. He said, because it will eat you up. It's something that once it gets in you, and obviously he was joking, but once it gets in you, you have to do it. I mean, you want to be involved.
Well, Jacoby comes from one of those race families, too. You know, his dad, Rick, raced, and then, you know, Jeremy races, and Jacoby races. But, you know, that family, they're no stranger to victory lane at Brownstown Speedway. You know, all those guys, great success in racing and you know, stuff like that. So, Jacoby's another good one to have to reach out, you know, especially with the modifieds. Jacoby, you know, very good in a modified. So, he's another good one to reach out to and say, how do I do this?
Yeah, and he's always been there. I mean, he calls me just like Friday night after Bloomington. He calls me on the ride home and, you know, just talking about the race and different things. So it's nice to have those guys that's been in the racing reach out to me and try to help me, you know, because even though we're competitors out there and, you know, everybody wants to win, they're still there to help you get better because they want to see you do good too. And, I mean, the better you are, the better challenge it is for them and different things. So, I mean, it is a – everybody's been welcoming to me, so, and that makes it nice.
And, you know, you talked about the better – you know, they want that competition. I know, you know, Matt Boatnick won a feature last year, and that's what he said from Victory Lane is, you know, he wished that Gilpin and, you know, Jeremy Owens and some of them other, you know, big-name modified drivers would have been there that night. Because that just makes him better the more he can race with guys like that, you know. So
that's what we talked about earlier. You know, whenever you race with better guys, so to speak, you know, that win every week, that only makes you better. And I've noticed that just by going to different tracks and racing against stiffer competition, you only get better when you do that. So that's what's helped us quite a bit.
Well, there is a plethora, I guess, of competition right around here. I mean, the guys you roll out with on a Saturday night at Brownstown Speedway, you know, outside of one or two guys, you know, traveling around in the modifieds, that's the best of the best. You race with Tyler Nicely Friday night at, you know, at Brownstown or at Bloomington, and you know he is very good, but he travels. You know, you don't know whether he's going to be at, but on a Saturday night when you roll through that lineup shoot, I mean, it's the who's who of UMP modified racing around here. You know, at least it seems like it is, because anywhere else you go, those are the same names that come up.
And it is, and like I said earlier, I pulled into Bloomington, parked next to Tyler, and I'm new to it. I didn't do my research and know every driver and everybody's name and their stats, but I parked right next to him. I was like, hey, you know, we're standing at the lineup board. I'm like, you know, who are you, or what class are you running? And he's like, oh, I'm Tyler Nicely running mod. I was like, oh, cool, so am I. And we hit it all, like, just started talking about racing. He's like, yeah, I've raced 17 races already this year, and he's, I think, 3 back-to-back wins, you know, in front of Tyler or Trent Young. And so just being there, and he was a super nice guy, you know, if I needed anything, he was there to help. And that's what's nice about it, you know, seeing guys like that.
And I think that's an interesting thing, too, because we've asked a lot of the other guys that have been on with us about, you know, when was kind of that starstruck moment, or when you noticed that, you know, this guy was starting outside of you. Again, I think it's very interesting that you don't really have that. I mean, and again, I'm not making fun of you in any sense of the way, but just like that, like, some guys would have walked up there and been like, oh my God, Tyler Nicely's here tonight. Like, this is not going to be fun. But you're like, hey man, what's your name? What are you running? I mean, there's just no fear whatsoever. It's just, hey, I'm here to have a good time. I'm here to race. And I give you a lot of credit for that. I think that's a cool thing.
I appreciate it.
And I think that's an advantage to you, because you're not going to have that, you know, like Dustin said, that starstruck moment of, oh man, Nicely's to my outside. You know, he's just the guy in the 5 car, you know, as far as you're concerned. And
exactly.
Sometimes that helps, that you're not, oh my gosh, you know, I gotta do this because Tyler's to the outside of me. And, you know, so.
And I kind of got that last year. You know, we'd go to races and and my crew would be like, oh, this guy's here, that, and they weren't trying to make me nervous, but I think they were just trying to let me know, so, you know, don't screw up, you know. But I put that out the window because, like I said, everybody had to start somewhere.
That's a fact.
And
yep.
And I'm willing to learn because I want to be that guy that they're like, you know, how many went, you came off of a 5-win winning streak or whatever. I mean, that's kind of my goal, you know, to be a name known in dirt track.
What's your long, you said you know, you want to be great in 10 years, which I already said, I think you'll take care of that before 10, but what's your long-term goals? I mean, do you want to stay in modifieds your whole career? You looking to maybe move up to a super late model or a crate late model? Or?
Well, everybody says that the late models are easier to drive for the simple fact of, you know, the steering and the tires and whatnot. So we've kind of talked about buying a crate, you know, and trying it. I've got two mods now. I wrecked that one, you know, mid-season towards the end. And since I was running for points, you know, a lot of people – they wouldn't have got another car, but I've got that competitive side. I'm like, hey, I'm doing good in the points, trying to get the rookie of the year. So I found another car out in Illinois that was put together already and that was new. And so, and I got a good deal, so we went out and bought it. That way we could race Saturday night to keep our fight going for that. So now that I've got two mods, it's kind of like, well, what do? You can't race two mods at once. And that's kind of where I'm maybe leaning towards is a crate late.
Well, Devin kind of talked about, he mentioned, and that's why I said we might have some breaking news on here, that you're leaning toward maybe putting a young shoe in your second car and letting him do some wheeling.
Well, like me and Devin talked, he's open to that car anytime he wants, you know, and that it's a nice little thing for a gig for him to have, you know, race a late model for Jim Beam, and then we go to a big race hopping my mod. And I've got a young boy, never raced, but he's just, you know, he's kind of a star in that iRacing and whatnot.
Right.
And kind of goes back to what we talked about earlier, giving those kids a shot that always dreamed of doing it. And I'm in the situation where I can help this young boy that's 15 get that shot. And I'm young enough, don't have kids that's old enough to race, so I'm just willing to help him out.
And that's very cool that you're already looking at that, you know, because of the advantage you have with life there, then you already have a second car that, you know, hey, let's go out and try it. You know, and he might realize it ain't for him, or, you know, it might be something that you found the next star, you know. So.
Exactly, and that's kind of where we came from. You know, he might be the best on the iRacing, but racing a computer and racing a real-life mod's totally different. But there's still a lot of aspects where he's learned a lot, you know, doing that. Kind of like me, I was like, oh, it can't be that hard to turn left and go fast. But there's a lot of things to it. And we did have a little practice session, and he did show that he has potential. And I don't know how many races he's going to race, and I hope to have Devin drive my mod several races this year. I mean, that'd be nice. But if we can get the 15-year-old in at 5-6 nights, I think that'd be huge for him.
Well, what's his name? That way, if he shows up one night at Brownstown, we, you know, everybody knows, watch for him.
Braden Watson.
Braden Watson. So
he comes, he's another one of these boys that's came from a racing background. You know, his grandpa raced and his dad had a super stock, I think, and raced, but he's never had that opportunity to be in a car. And he's ran around with Bobby Pierce a lot, you know, and his crew and traveling, you know. And like I said, I just want to give him a shot. Like, he might not be good, he might be great. If he, either way, you know, he had the chance.
Very cool, and good job on that, you know.
And you talked about, you know, him kind of getting a start in iRacing. Is that something that you've done, you know, in this transition to it? Have you used any of that iRacing or anything?
Never tried it.
Okay, because I haven't either, and part of that is probably because I'm afraid I would get addicted to it and I'd be sitting out here doing nothing but iRacing. But I know that, you know, a lot of the big-name guys talk about, obviously, the realism of it and, you know, are using it to kind of help get themselves prepared for some tracks they've not seen.
And stay sharp with it. You know, I kind of wish that I would have known about it before to maybe do that. But I've always been the type of hands-on learning. I like to learn by doing it. And that's kind of what the direction we went. You know, we bought a mod and just learned by doing it. And So, I mean, it's going to be fun to see it. I mean, it's kind of different, you know, being 30 years old and having a expensive race car and a 15-year-old that you don't really know behind it is kind of crazy. I know it sounds, but I like to help people and try to get him good. And like you said, he might be the next, you know, the next Devin Gilpin or whatever.
And I know Matt already said it, but I give you huge kudos because we talk about how do we get more people involved, and it's guys like you taking chances on kids that want to be involved that maybe can't do it on their own. So I give you huge kudos for that.
Thank you.
You know, and helping that kid out.
Oh, you know, I'm right there with you, and you know, I'm going to take the suggestion of us bringing all you guys that show up on Saturday night up for autograph sessions. You know, I'll talk to Jim and all of them and see if we can do that maybe at least once a month where we can get, you know, and if that helps. And I know it seems like if you target the kids a little bit, you know, that kid's going to go to school and say, man, this happened, you know, on Saturday night. Well, that kid's going to go home and tell mom and dad, well, I got to go where he went because they had a good time. And, you know, and I know me as a race fan, I talked about, you know, always want to see what those drivers look like with their helmets off, you know, because I was a track kid. I went at 5 and from then on up, and, you know, always when they was racing, I always wonder what they look like because, you know, they were my superstars when I was a kid, and yeah, the closer I could get to them, the cooler it was for me. So I'm going to definitely take that, you know, to them and say, we need to work on this because we need to fill more people in them stands to keep this sport, you know, alive and running.
And I know with, you know, the 2018, life's busy. Everybody's busy. They've got kids. They're running here. They're playing sports. And that's kind of where I was. You know, I played sports. I worked a lot. But the racing, any way we can keep people, like you said, those kids go to school and talk about it and make it affordable for people to come and enjoy it and bring their family, you know, that's only going to help. Instead of sitting at home playing games, you're going to the movies, come to the track and you know, get dirty and see your favorite race car driver or get a t-shirt or sign, whatever. I mean, just keep it fun, you know, keep them wanting to come back.
And there's not too many things you can do where if you're under 12, you're free. I mean, that's, you know, yeah, mom and dad's got to pay to get in, but if they got 2 or 3 kids, you know, outside of what they're going to eat that night, and once you get to the racetrack, it's all free. You know, the kids get in there for free, so.
And that's the thing, a lot of the people at the track have to realize that if you do anything, if you take them to a movie, that's going to be $50, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so if you keep it entertaining and enjoyable for them, they're going to come to the track. I mean, even though it does cost to get in, I mean, that's, they got to realize that that's how the track keeps going and get drivers there and different things. So I think it'll work.
You talked earlier about some of your crew guys, and we've talked on here several times. What some of the fans don't realize is on Saturday nights is it's not you just hook up to the trailer and pull the car down. There's hours and hours in the shop and getting set up. Who's some of those crew guys that really give you some help in getting things ready?
I've got a guy named Ben Givens. He works at Ison, so he gets off at 5, and he's at my shop he gets off at 4:30. He's at my shop at 5 every day. And last year, we needed all the hours we could get because we had a lot of body to, you know, to fix, and we had a lot of stuff tore up, but that was kind of our goal this year is to keep it smooth so we can have more fun. But Ben, he's put a lot of hours in helping me. Donnie is at my shop all the time helping me. If I need anything, he comes over, brings me stuff. So he's there a lot. Devin helps me. And then Eric Roll came on board. You know, he thinks that we're going to maybe do something. He wants to be a part of it, and he's a huge help. I mean, he drives the rig sometimes. He grinds tires. So I've got a lot of people that are behind me and help me.
Now, the chassis you bought off of Devin was an impressive. What was the chassis you went to Illinois? Was it another impressive?
Yeah, it was another 2017 impressive.
Very cool. So you're starting to get the handle on that, and you know where to, you know, what setups you need to do with everything there.
And that's what we talked about earlier. Whenever we first raced, we just kind of set the car up and turned laps. We didn't adjust anything. We didn't do set up. Well, I mean, we set it up, but we didn't do a lot of change. And now we're at that stage where we know what to do. If we're tight, we know what to loosen up, what bars to drop. You know, J bars and pull bars, and they talk about all this stuff that's over my head. You know, I'm just learning. I'm like, Donnie's like, well, we got to do this. I'm like, well, what is that? Where is that even on the car? So it was a learning curve, and now that we know, I think we raced close to 40 races last year, so that was a lot for, you know, never doing it. And that helped us learn our car. And I like the impressives, you know, because I feel like when you stick with one that you know and you have that edge to keep going.
Oh, I totally agree with you there. You know, you become familiar and you know what to expect. And, you know, you went from, you know, one car to the other, but it's the same chassis. So, you know, the setups ought to be very, very close, you know, between the two cars.
And they are. Whenever I bought the car off the Jason Smith out in Illinois, he had a lot of different parts than what I had. So it did drive. It was the same chassis, but it drove totally different. And this winter, we built both cars pretty well identical so that they are the same. If, you know, if we run at Bloomington with Molly and something happens, we can hop in Lucy and run in at Brownstown.
There you go. I mean, that, and that's good. So out of the two, which is your favorite car, Lucy or Molly?
Well, to be honest, Lucy's the one that I bought off of Donnie. That's the one we wrecked. So after I wrecked it, it pretty well set in the shop, tore apart. We tore it all down, and then I bought that other car. So honestly, I haven't even been back in it since that night.
Oh, wow.
And why don't you go back? Because that was a pretty wild ride you had when you tore that one up. What was that like to experience that?
Well, everybody knows Devin wrecked right before me, you know, and had to get... Took him up to Indy, and so we're sitting there, and he's a great buddy of mine, so we're sitting there, and I'm like, dang it, you know, I hate that, but he's like, hey, go out there and do good. You know, as he's getting in the ambulance, he's like, you still got a feature to run. So I'm in the car, and never in a million years would have thought I would have been in the same boat he was, upside down, barrel rolling, but, you know, it was a wild ride, but thankfully, you know, all the stuff, safety, you've got the seats and the helmets and the Hans devices and the... And so, I mean, as far as the safety factor, it was, you know, I wasn't scared there. It was more depressing as you're flipping upside down, looking at the fans and seeing the sky and then hitting the dirt and landing there and you see your car destroyed. It kind of sucks because you know that you put all those hours mm-hmm. in with your buddies in the shop and then it's all brought to a halt and it's toast, you know. And that, so it was different.
Does that feel like that takes, like, just a lifetime?
Oh, yeah. I the thing that is weird, I've always wanted to see it on video, but there's still to this day, I've not seen a video on the internet of what my wreck was. To me, it felt like a perfect example of the movie Talladega Nights. You know, whenever he's wrecking and it's like slow motion and stuff's flying off your car and it's just like, yeah, it felt like it took 5 minutes.
Well, that's what I mean. Even as you describe it, you're like, I saw the sky, I saw the fans, I saw the dirt, I saw the sky.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it just slows down.
Oh, yeah,
to where it's
slow motion. I mean, I called it like a catapult, you know. The back end came flying up, so I'm looking down at the ground, then it started sideways, and then in that barrel roll, and yeah, you just see the lights, and you just, and it happens so fast, but it feels that slow at the same time. It's weird.
And I'm gonna tell you, it was fast action, because I remember looking over in one and two to watch something, and then I hear Jamie beside me. She's like, oh, my, and I look down, and you're coming to a rest. I mean, that's how fast it was that I didn't even get to see your roll, but you know, when he was coming to a rest. So I'm sure it seemed slow to you inside the car, but it was like...
Oh, it was fast. Somebody posted it, you know, had a little video on Facebook, but it was just the tail end, and I thought it was slow, but whenever I saw that video, it was just like... It was fast, you know, it was crazy. But I'm sitting in the lineup shoot last night at Bloomington, or Friday night, and sitting there waiting to go out for hot laps, and here's this car comes flying over turn one at Bloomington and does the same thing. He flipped probably 15 times right in front of me, and I was like, you know, I kind of wanted to get out and, you know, help the guy out just because I've been there before. But,
right.
But it was, you know, he was okay, and the car was toast, but...
Was that the first time you'd been upside? Did you get upside down the side by side when you raced in the GNCC?
A couple times. I mean, but nothing that high speed. You know, not going 60 and just start barrel rolling.
Right.
It was more low key. And
now, when you talk about, and I think I know the answer to this, because you bought another car pretty quickly. Was there any hesitation about getting back in the car after that?
Well, like you said, you probably know the answer. No, I was that night. My dad was actually saying, what are we going to do? Like, you going to get another car? I don't think we can have this one built by Saturday.
So dad was already saying that. Mom was probably saying she was probably slashing tires in the race shop.
Well, yeah, she wasn't there. She wasn't there. Neither was my wife. She was actually doing something with some girlfriends.
If you're ever going to roll a car, you pick the right night to do
oh,
it.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, because it would have been hard to get them convinced to let me get another one and get back in it so quick. But like I said, they support me, and we bought another car to finish that. Because, like I said, last year I was going for Rookie of the Year and tried to do the best in points that I could do, and that was my choice, you know, is why I went so fast.
And your points, I mean, you had, what, Jacoby was behind you in points, and Dennis Boatnick was in front of you. I mean, you're right there in the competition of stuff.
And that's what makes it enjoyable, is getting to be with those guys, even though they win features and I don't, but the way the points work, you know, you show up and you're dedicated to the sport and you run every week, and that's where the points helps a guy out like me. But I'm hoping this year to get a feature win, and I'm glad you guys let me tell my sponsors on the talk show, because I've yet to be able to tell them at Victory Lane, you know.
Well, we're hoping that happens too, because we definitely want you to come back on right after that first feature win, so that we can say those sponsors again and celebrate with you a little bit.
So when you get that, because I'm not even going to say if, Lucas, when you get that feature win, the Country Inn at Dudley Town, is it going to be a party that night?
Well, I'm sure a lot of people realize that beer goes with dirt track racing.
Yes, sir.
So yeah, there's going to be several of those drank and pretty big party, because, like I said, we've been working hard. We've been putting hours in, and I really want to do it for my guys, my team, and my sponsors, and get that feeling.
There's nothing like the Country Inn on a Saturday night late, so that'll be a good time. When you, you know, how has it been to try and balance? Because I know you know, you've got a pretty demanding job. How has it been to try and balance that work for your actual career and then trying to get in the car and get the work done there?
Well, and like you said, it all goes back to my crew. This year, I've actually kind of took on more challenges with my career as far as a business owner, and bought a few more things as far as trucks go. And so I've been very busy with it, and that's where I've got good guys like Ben and Eric and Steven Watson and a few other guys that they show up at my shop. I might be busy working. They're over there working on the car, getting it ready. So, I mean, that's helped me out tremendous.
And now your race shop is right there with your business, correct?
Correct.
So that helps a little bit too.
Oh, yeah, that helps a lot. I know my father, he's like, you know, at break or lunch, I'm over there like, you know, what do we need to buy for the car? And I'm worried about it. And he's like, we need to run this mill. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but it's so hard. You know, it'd be better if the shop was at my house, but it's just kind of part of it.
But dad's all cool with it. I mean,
he's there
over
every weekend.
Good.
Yeah, he's a big supporter.
And then you with the Wee Miller Express, you gave the extra money for the No Way Out then. You're the one that took it to the historic 10,000 then, right?
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to it. Like I said, I'm just a big supporter of it, of racing, and I like it. So anyway, I can help. You know, if it's not winning, I want to be involved somehow. And it was just an opportunity for us to be involved and get it up to, you know, just like you say, the 10,000, that's a huge purse.
Oh,
and
yeah,
that should bring a lot of guys to Brownstown, and that's what I want. I want Brownstown to be big. It has been for years, and it's kind of fallen off because of the, you know, the way society is today, but I want to get it back to how it was in the old days, you know, where the crowds are full, or the stands are full, and everybody's there.
You know, there's been a whole lot of huge names come through that place, and you know, me as a race fan, I'm appreciative of what you're trying to bring back to the sport, you know, and everything that you do. I mean, many different aspects there that you're personally involved in. That's very cool as a race fan.
And I think it's really cool that you've jumped on board, even not growing up with that. And you respect that history of Brownstown Speedway and what it was and what it still is and can be, and are willing to jump in and help support some of that stuff. So that's pretty cool. And I thank you for that too.
So what made you decide to give the extra amount outside just growing it up, just so we could have that historic 10,000? And
well, I mean, that and Mason Fleetwood, you know, there with Blondie's. He's on my car. I didn't say him earlier, but Blondie's Pizzeria is on the car, and he helps me, and he's a big supporter. So he called me up, and he's like, hey, you know, let's try to get this thing big. And he knows how I am, you know, and I'm like, let's do it. You know, I'm all about it. I'm all game.
Have you ever thought about getting in a sprint car?
Honestly, I want to, but it kind of goes back to that thing where I don't need to, because if I do, I'll probably want one.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably better off to.
And, you know, my wife, we've gone to a lot of races now that used to, we never did. And she sees those sprint car wrecks. She's like, nope, no way. You're not getting one.
Well, I've grown up, and we've talked about it several times on this show, but I lean towards the sprint cars. I grew up in Mitchell, Indiana, and going to Bloomington Speedway and watching those guys run their sprints up there. And I took my wife to the No Way Out 40 last year, and I said, you know, if we're lucky enough that our four-year-old wants to race, I mean, the dream scenario would be that he runs a sprint. And it didn't, I mean, it hadn't come out of my mouth any longer than 10 seconds. And one is just barely rolling and flipping and jumping down the side of the track. And she said, and that's one of these? And I said, yeah, that's one of these. So I'm going to have to try and work her back into that idea, because she's already like, that looked really nasty. But I would be all about getting my son in a sprint car at some point.
And me being what I'm from, I would be over here trying to talk him into get to a dirt late model, you know, because yeah. I enjoy all forms of racing, but I just lean toward those dirt late models. And, you know, I get excited. Actually, any kind of racing, you know, that's why when I got the opportunity to you know, be the idiot that yells into the microphone every Saturday night at Brownstown, that couldn't suit me more, because, you know, I get to sit and watch racing, talk about racing, and you know, be part of it, because, you know, I could never afford, you know, to have a race car. My family didn't have race cars. You know, my grandpa was a diehard race fan, but we was never on the racing side of things. He was always on the spectator side. And I got older, you know, started helping buddies that had race cars, but just never could monetarily afford to have one of my own. And this is, you know, this podcast and you know, being the announcer at Brownstown, that's my way to give back to the sport and try to find ways to make it grow too. So, you know, I'm glad that you do everything you do, and, you know, all of us working together, I think we can make this sport get a lot bigger than what it is now.
Oh, yeah, and like the whole podcast thing, I mean, that's, I don't even know if that's been a thing in the past or not, probably not, but things like this is awesome to bring guys in and give me the opportunity to talk about people and like you said, just grow the sport. I enjoy it, and talking about it, get people that haven't been around it involved, and maybe get them on board with, they'll, you know, like it. So it's pretty neat. And like we talked about earlier, you're kind of asking me, I would, you know, you said you're a huge fan of the dirt late model. That is something that I want to go towards, but I wanted to start out in a mod, because I felt like if I could drive a mod good, then we can go to a late model and be decent, you know.
Oh, and you know, you heard the others were easier. So, I mean, if you race something that's hard, you know, with the horsepower to tire size ratio and all that, when you jump up to that, I think it's going to help your learning curve when you move up a class. So
that was kind of our idea.
Outside of Devin, who's some other drivers that, you know, since you've raced a, you know, whole race season and stuff, who's some drivers you're starting to look up to and kind of like try to model their style of racing?
Well, I would say, like, at, you know, Brownstown, Matt Boatneck's always up there, you know, and he's an awesome guy, you know, in outside the track and on the track. So, I like him a lot, and like I said, I'm buddies with Jacoby and watch a lot of stuff he does, and just kind of do our own thing at the same time, you know, because everybody drives different.
Oh,
you can watch so many people do different things, so we kind of just worry about ourselves and that aspect of what we need to do to make us better. But, I mean, all the guys are great. I mean, everybody. Like Tyler, the Knight. Mike Knight,
yeah.
You know, he was a buddy. We got into it a few times on the track, and we were both new. But afterwards, we'd be in the pit, and we'd talk and shake hands and be buddies and help each other out any way we could. And that's what's nice. So you got a lot of nice guys that are out there racing with you, and it makes it enjoyable.
And both of you guys improved last year. You know, that's, you know, you guys both come in kind of new to the sport and worked up. And you know, by the end of the year, you guys both showed improvement from race one, and you know, that's all a guy can ask for in his rookie year is, I'm going to be better on the last night than I was the first night.
Exactly.
Well, guys, we're at about an hour and 15 minutes already, crazy enough. And I want to, again, thank our sponsors, In the Fast Lane Productions. Again, reach out, sign up for a premium membership with InTheFastLaneProductions.com. Schaefer Photo and Custom Tee. Check them out this Friday and Saturday night at the double feature at Brown Sound Speedway in their trailer right behind the grandstand. And also Kenny Montgomery for allowing us the opportunity to use his new song, Dirt. Again, if you want to download Dirt or Dirt Track Thing, visit your iTunes or wherever you purchase your digital music. It'll be available there. Anything else, Matt, before we take off?
I'm going to give a shout-out real quick to the Schaefer Photo and Custom Tees. Like me, knowing Mark, if you race at Brownstown Friday night and you came back Saturday to watch, he will probably have the photos available if you want to look through and see what you want to buy from him up there, because I know he goes home every night after the races and gets everything cropped and ready. So if you race Friday night, he'll have them ready for you, on, you know, something for you to look at on Saturday. So definitely go back here. Bobby Bowling, he'll be in the back there in their booth, and you know, it's fun to go disco talk racing with Bobby. So if anything else, look through the pictures Mark has and talk a little racing with Bobby Bowling and then go from there.
And Lucas, man, I really appreciate you coming down and spending some time with us. And we're going to look forward to that feature win this year and the good time at the Country Inn and Dudleytown, Indiana afterwards. So I wish you all the best of luck.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. We'll see everybody at the track Friday and Saturday.
Of the rap game. Woo! Ever since I hit him with that dirt track thing. Yeah. Now nationwide, everybody knows my name. They're like, mama, that's Kenny Montgomery. He sings that song we like. Yeah, boy, that's me. Roll out the trailer, I'm flossing. Huh. Them Hoosier tires glossing. Yep. Them cold kind, we're tossing. Right. They know I came to wreck it, yet I rarely bring out a caution. I hit the high side. Boy, I park it for Brian Clausen. I do them like Kyle Larson. Watch me throw them sliders. Party in Victory Lane, and y'all boys ain't invited. Your mama gets excited when I pull up to unload. Even your grandpa talking about, man, that boy too cold. We don't sit on 24s, we don't ride on spinners. I'm posted up on them 15s with platinum dirt defenders. Got kids up in my window like, hey, Mo, are you gonna win it? Yeah, I hope y'all brought some stamps, cause y'all know I'm about to send it on it. Dirt, 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 I'm all about that. Dirt, 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 I'm throwing. Dirt, 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 I miss that. Dirt, 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 gotta get back to I'm it. I'm a dirt trackaholic, call it what you call it. Saturday night, I am so Kenny Wallace on that. Dirt, 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 I miss that. Dirt, 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 gotta get back to it. I just won hot laps for the third week. Huh? Lil Dave said he thinks we're in the first heat. Yeah. So I go and check the board on my bike, sitting outside pole. Y'all know what it's looking like. W, W, that's another George W. Hit him with that half a lap, like dang, what gear you running, dude? And where'd you get that fire suit? Man, I like that stitching. Velocity USA, hey, just tell Brad that I sent you. I'm shining like I'm
rubbered up and I'm smiling for the pics.
Say cheese.
Y'all boys be looking tacky while I stay looking slick.
No short.
Four new rims, no new friends. They never know what I'm planning.
Never.
And mama just gave me them eyes like, dang, baby, you looking handsome.
Ain't really.
We pray and sing the anthem. Nobody takes a knee. We stop and show respect because we're all proud to be.
That's right.
From the land of the free and the home of the brave. Y'all better wake up and get it. We're making America great again. Let's all go out and kick it on the dirt. Dirt, 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 I'm all about that. Dirt, 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 I'm throwing. Dirt, 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 I miss that. Dirt, 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 dirt,
gotta get back to
I'm
it.
I'm a dirt trackaholic, call it what you call it. Saturday night, I am so Kenny Wallace on that. Dirt, 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 I miss that. Dirt, 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 dirt,
gotta get back to it.